Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Decision in Normandy by Carlo d'Este is a deeply researched narrative history of the 1944 campaign that followed the Allied landings in France. Rather than treating D-Day as a self-contained climax, the book tracks how the Normandy battle unfolded as a grinding contest of leadership, terrain, logistics, and morale. D'Este brings forward the friction between Allied commanders, the challenges of coordinating multinational armies, and the German struggle to respond under relentless air attack and growing material shortages. The story moves from planning assumptions to battlefield realities, showing how the hedgerow country, narrow roads, and fortified villages shaped operations and forced costly tactical adaptation. A central focus is decision-making, why key commanders chose caution or audacity, how intelligence and misperception influenced timing, and how operational choices cascaded into political and human consequences. Readers get a campaign-level view with enough combat detail to understand why progress was slow and why the eventual breakout mattered so much for the liberation of France and the defeat of Nazi Germany. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from overlord planning to the first week ashore, the book situates the Normandy campaign in the gap between plans on paper and the disorder of landing and consolidation. It highlights how Allied planning balanced competing needs, surprise versus mass, speed versus caution, and the requirement to sustain a huge force across an artificial shoreline. D'Este emphasizes that early success depended less on a single dramatic day and more on establishing workable ports, beach logistics, and reliable command links while the Germans tried to contain the lodgemen. The narrative explores how initial objectives were shaped by assumptions about German response times and the ability of airborne and seaborne forces to seize key terrain. It also examines the immediate command challenges faced by senior leaders who had to make decisions with incomplete information, shifting weather, and units arriving in piecemeal fashion. The first week becomes a case study in friction, traffic jams, scattered drops, strong points that held longer than expected, and the difficulty of moving armor and artillery off the beaches. By focusing on decisions and constraints, the book helps readers understand why the campaign did not unfold as a clean race inland and why momentum had to be built deliberately under fire. Secondly, the Normandy terrain problem and the cost of attrition, a major theme, is how terrain and fortification turned Normandy into an attritional battlefield. D'Este explains that the bocage landscape, with thick hedgerows and sunken lanes, neutralized some Allied advantages in mobility and numbers. Small German units could defend from concealed positions, forcing Allied infantry and armor into close-range engagements where surprise and fields of fire favored defenders. The book describes how this environment affected everything from reconnaissance to artillery observation, and how it increased casualties even during limited advances. The campaign is presented as a series of hard-fought local battles that accumulated into operational effect, often at a pace that frustrated political leaders and frontline troops alike. D'Este also shows how weather and mud compounded problems by grounding air support at times and slowing resupply. The result was a grinding contest in which both sides paid heavily, but for different reasons, the Allies struggled to translate resources into rapid movement, while the Germans expended irreplaceable manpower and equipment to hold ground. By framing the fighting as a systems problem as much as a tactical one, the book clarifies why patience, adaptation, and sustained logistics mattered as much as courage and firepower. Thirdly, Allied command dynamics, Montgomery, Bradley, Patton, and Eisenhower, Decision in Normandy pays close attention to personalities and command relationships, presenting the Allied high command as effective but frequently strained. D'Este examines how strategic imperatives, national pride, and individual temperament shaped operational choices. The book scrutinizes how Montgomery's role and public messaging interacted with American expectations, and how Eisenhower managed coalition politics while also making hard judgments about commanders and plans. It also explores the evolution of the American command team, including Bradley's methodical style and Patton's aggressive reputation, and how these approaches fit into the broader campaign architecture. D'Este emphasizes that many disputes were not merely personal, but rooted in different theories of how to break the German line, broad front pressure, concentrated thrusts, or sequential offensives. The narrative shows how staff work, inter-service coordination, and the allocation of scarce resources such as landing craft, air assets, and artillery influenced what was possible. Importantly, the book connects command decisions to ground-level consequences, illustrating how delays, boundary changes, and shifting priorities affected units in contact. Readers come away with a nuanced view of coalition warfare, where success required not only battlefield skill, but also disciplined compromise and clear operational purpose. Fourthly, the German response, Rommel, Rundstedt, and a defense under pressure. On the German side, D'Este portrays a leadership structure constrained by politics, divided authority, and the reality of Allied air supremacy. The book outlines competing German concepts of defense, including debates over whether to stop the invasion at the beaches or hold armored reserves for a decisive counterstroke. It explores how commanders such as Rommel and Rundstedt assessed Allied strengths differently and how their recommendations collided with the decision-making culture at the top of the regime. D'Este emphasizes that German tactical skill and local resilience could not fully compensate for strategic disadvantages, limited fuel, disrupted movement by air attack, and the difficulty of shifting reserves quickly through a collapsing transportation network. The narrative shows how German units often fought effectively in the Bocage and around key towns, yet faced relentless attrition and shrinking options as the Allies expanded their buildup. The book also highlights how intelligence failures, misread intentions, and the fear of a second landing influenced German timing and commitment of forces. By presenting the German story alongside the Allied one, D'Este frames Normandy as a dynamic contest of decisions, not a one-sided inevitability, while still making clear why the Germans increasingly fought a holding action with diminishing prospects. Lastly, Breakout, Operational Innovation, and the Road Beyond Normandy, the later campaign is treated as an operational puzzle, how to convert attritional gains into a decisive rupture of the front. D'Este explains how the Allies sought to fix German forces in place through repeated attacks, then exploit weakness with concentrated power once conditions allowed. The book highlights the importance of air-ground integration, massed artillery, engineer support, and improved small unit tactics tailored to hedgerow fighting. It explores how deception, timing, and the commitment of fresh formations could transform a stalled front into a breakthrough, while also noting the risks of overconfidence and the persistent dangers of German counterattacks. D'Este connects breakout operations to logistical realities, showing that rapid movement required fuel, road capacity, bridge repair, and a functioning supply system that could keep pace with advancing units. The narrative underscores that the transition from slogging combat to mobile warfare was not automatic. It depended on deliberate planning and the ability of commanders to recognize when the enemy was brittle. By tracking consequences beyond the immediate breakthrough, the book clarifies why Normandy was the hinge of the Western Front. Once the Germans lost the ability to stabilize the line, the operational tempo shifted dramatically and the campaign opened the path toward the liberation of France and the final drive into Germany. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want more than a heroic overview of D-Day and prefer a campaign-level account that explains why the battle for Normandy took so long and cost so much. Military history enthusiasts, students of leadership, and anyone interested in coalition warfare will find value in the way D'Este links decisions at the top to outcomes at the front. The main benefit is practical insight into how complex operations succeed or fail. Planning assumptions collide with terrain, logistics, personalities, and enemy adaptation, and leaders must choose amid uncertainty. Those lessons translate well beyond history, whether you manage teams, study strategy, or simply want to understand how large organizations turn intent into results. Compared with many Normandy books that focus on a single unit or a narrow slice of the fighting, Decision in Normandy offers a broad yet detailed synthesis that balances Allied and German perspectives and stays focused on decision-making rather than myth. It is worth buying because it helps readers connect the famous headlines to the operational mechanics that actually shaped the outcome, providing a clearer, more grounded understanding of one of the decisive campaigns of World War II. If you would like to support Carlo D'Este, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.